Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our Old Testament lesson from Malachi chapter 4. Well, when our children were younger, Donna and I used to have a very effective tool when it came time to discipline. We called it the brown chair. Now, some folks use different kinds of methods. You know, sometimes you have a timeout, or perhaps back in the day, you got a spanking or something like that. But for us, what we used was the timeout, and it was the brown chair. Now, imagine, if you will, we're at the seminary, and this is the time that we were using this. The seminary had a house there that they basically made it into two apartments. We lived on the first floor. There's another family on the top floor. And the brown chair, well, we put that in the hallway. Now, from the brown chair, it's in the hallway, and if you were to look off this way to your left, well, there'd be the dining room, the kitchen, and the living room. That's all down there. To walk past this way, in front of the brown chair, down the hallway, back where the bedrooms were. That time, we had four kids, and so all their bedrooms were all in the back of the house. Now, if they were to do something wrong and they got in trouble, they had to sit on the brown chair. Now, why was the brown chair so effective? Well, for one thing, you couldn't say anything. You had to be quiet when you're sitting on the brown chair. And the other thing was, is that from the brown chair, you could see everything that everybody else was getting to do, and you were not. So, if you got in trouble then, and one of your siblings, this also is very effective, one of the siblings wanted to go back to play in the bedroom, well, they had to walk by you while you're sitting on the brown chair. So you could not interact with the person on the brown chair. And so over time then, just even the threat of saying, "Do you want to sit on the brown chair?" was an effective deterrent in bad behavior. Because if you sat on the brown chair, you knew you were in trouble and your freedoms were temporarily gone. Very effective, the brown chair. Now, for our readings for today, we find that, well, the readings that we have are, well, they're for the church year, this time of the church year. Okay, we're getting ready to the end of the church year, which will be next Sunday, will be the last Sunday of the church year. Now, recall then, we begin with Advent. Boy, it's going to be here before you know it. December 1st, it's going to start. It's the beginning of the church year. We're looking forward to our Savior coming. All right, then we have Christmas, and then we have the time during Epiphany. Well, that's when Jesus did his ministry. We've got Easter, we've got Lent, then Easter, and then Pentecost. So we're finishing up Pentecost right now. So we're looking at those scripture passages that deal with the time right before Jesus gets back. When Jesus comes back, what is that? That's Judgment Day. And so, for this morning here, in our Old Testament lesson, it begins this way. The day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all the evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. Well, that's some pretty serious stuff that's going on here, particularly when you talk about fire. Now, in the New Testament, when you talk about fire and you're getting close to Judgment Day, well, then you know that that fire is real, because on Judgment Day, there's going to be a separation. Separation of believers and non-believers. The non-believers are going to go to that place where there is fire, and that's hell. And so, what do we have here? We have the evildoers. What are they called? Stubble, right? Stubble is like the chaff off of wheat. You know, that's all collected together. The chaff is that portion that's not used. It's not non-edible, right? So they gather up all the chaff, throw it in the oven there to be burned. And that's what's going to happen there. The Lord is going to take up the evildoers, and they are going to be punished. They'll be consumed by fire. So much so that it says there, quote, they will have neither root nor branch. Well, what that means is that nothing's going to grow back. Kind of like sometimes you chop down a tree, what could happen? You could have a new tree grow out from one of the roots right there in the ground. Not so with this. when they are consumed, when they are punished there, nothing is going to grow back, meaning the evil ones will not be returning. They are gone forever. They have a permanent seat on the brown chair, never to get up again. Now contrast that then with the other group that is spoken of here in our Old Testament lesson. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. You who fear my name, you who fear and love God. What he's talking about here, those are the believers. The Son of Righteousness will bring healing. Well, Jesus is our Son of Righteousness, and indeed he does bring healing. He heals us of our sins. He did that through his death on the cross. He also rose from the grave alive, giving us hope, hope of life, everlasting life. That is the healing that Jesus provides us. And so like young calves then, when released from the stall, so we too rejoice. We rejoice because we have been healed. We have been forgiven. We have been released from the brown chair because Jesus took the punishment for us. There's no need for us to sit there. We have been freed from that forever and ever. Then we come to the next part there in our Old Testament reading, where it says, "Remember the law of my servant Moses." Now, this is an important thing for us to remember, particularly on Consecration Sunday. It's the word remember. Remember means that, well, you've heard it before, meaning that you have been taught before. And in particular here, when he's talking about remember the law of my servant Moses, he's talking about remember the scriptures. You need to remember what's in there. Because remembering means, again, you've been taught that in the first place, right? Somewhere along the line, somebody taught you what was in the Bible. You read about it in your own Bibles. So you have learned that, and you need to remember that. And so such is the case for us who have been taught about Jesus. We need to remember it. And that leads us then to the mission of the church. You see, Consecration Sunday is all about remembering how we have been blessed by God. We receive so many blessings. We receive forgiveness of sins. Okay, that happened because God wanted to do something about it. He did by sending us Jesus. Again, it's Jesus who gave up his life for you and me. But it's also Jesus who rose from the grave alive. Again, giving us that hope of everlasting life. So what do we do then? We respond as a thankful people. We give thanks to God for how he has blessed us. And one of those ways is returning a portion of that which he's given to us in the first place, our treasures. And so as we return that back to him, we're saying thank you. And in particular this past week, well, we've been praying about that and seeking to determine what God is calling us to give as a response to his love and grace. And then we'll bring forward our pledges. And collectively then, we will celebrate all that God has given to us in a meal right here, receiving Christ's body and blood, and then a meal to partake together as well to sustain our bodies. But what truly does it mean when we give? Well, it means ministry happens. You see, we have lots of ministry that's been going on here at Trinity. In fact, we've been here at worship for 177 years. Think about that. 177 years right here in this location, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with others, others coming to faith. But that's just one of the ministries that we have here. We have another one that's been going on for over 65 years, our school. This year, we're celebrating 50 years of our early childhood center. Incredible. And we're already 2 years into our daycare as well. That's just some of the ministries. We've got Sunday school. We've got LWML. We have our youth ministry. We have the Comfort Dog ministry. We have the deaf ministry. All kinds of ministry that are happening here. Now, when we think about that, and as the choir's included in that, if you have that gift and talent, you participate in that too. But not everybody here and sitting in the pews can fit up there in the choir loft, although Henry probably loved that. But what? Just because we're not in the choir, we don't need to address it like, well, that's their ministry. Mm-mm. It's not. You see, when we give of our time and talent and treasures, we're giving to one ministry. We're giving to our ministry. So we're giving to our school, to our early childhood center, our daycare, our choir, our LWML, our youth ministry, our deaf ministry. You see, when we do that, even though it's individually we give, but collectively, what are we? We are the people of God. We are one team together in the Lord, serving one Savior with the gifts and talents and time and treasures that our God has given to us. And we in turn then are doing what? We are teaching. We are teaching others. Whether it be in Bible class that we have all throughout the week for adults, or Sunday school, or in our school, or when we're singing about it, or worshiping it. What are we doing? We are sharing and telling others the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. And so when we give then, what do? We give to support the ministry here at Trinity. And we take some of that and we give that gifts to others too. We give that to our district and to our national office too. So that ministry can go on not only here, but in our state and in our country and in our world. It's an amazing thing. Guys, when you think about it, there are a whole lot of people out there in this world who are sitting on the brown chair, and they don't even know it. But they need to realize that sitting on the brown chair is not a permanent end for them. If they come to faith in Jesus Christ, they are freed from that punishment to have what? Forgiveness of sins and the hope of everlasting life. That's what happens when we work together as one, when we give as one. Because you see, we don't call it a church budget around here. That's one of the first things that I changed when we got here. We call it a ministry plan. Because as we give to that ministry, as we give of our time, our talents, and our treasures, we're giving here to support ministry. And when we have opportunity to give even more, that, and we looked and evaluated and prayed about it this past week, that can we give even more? That means more ministry can be done. So that's why we have a day like today, where we celebrate what God has given to us, and we do that by celebrating by returning a portion back to Him. So therefore, let us call out today, Lord, You are the one who causes us to be generous. Cause us even to be more generous. And He's promised that He will enable us to do that very thing through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.